from, or if she's even human.
Well, she flies, Mark.
She does. I mean, so, that's a problem, right?
She's definitely.
I mean, she's from the future or something. I don't know. But why would you choose to go back to 19th century England?
I don't know.
You wouldn't.
No one would choose to
it's
go
like,
back.
You know what? I'm a pretty powerful being. I think I'm going to go to the least comfortable era of all time in terms of clothing and living. It's sooty. The clothes are binding and uncomfortable and hot. Uh-oh. I'm going there to spread some love. I'm like, hell no, I'm going to go like at least like the 90s or something, oh, maybe God. The 80s.
No, because yeah. The 90s, the fashion was terrible. Okay, go ahead. Hi, and welcome to Gen Extemporaneous. This is a podcast where I come up with an idea, I do some research, I grab a bottle of wine, I bring everything to Mark, and he pontificates. In tonight's episode, we are going to be discussing the season finale of Ted Lasso, and potentially the series finale. You may remember that Mark and I were very anxious for Ted Lasso to launch earlier this year, and it finally did, and now it's come to a conclusion. Or maybe it hasn't. Anyway, Mark and I have very different takes on season 3 as a whole and the series finale, and we thank you for coming to listen to us each week. If you do enjoy us, please share us with a friend. Hi, Mark Snedeker.
Hello, Christina LaRusso. So before we begin, mm-hmm. I would like to do a little inventory.
Oh, okay. No, I know.
Two microphones?
There's no wine.
Two microphones?
I know there's no wine. No, every time. I know.
Mixing board? Yes.
It's just.
Laptop?
Mark.
Cell phones? Yes. Oh.
You know that it's.
There's no wine.
It's just the introduction now because that. There used to be wine, everyone.
Yeah. And now it's just. Now we just have a podcast full of lies.
It's not a podcast full of lies. It's an introduction that. Has one. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Mark gives me a bottle of water and we talk about
stuff. I mean,
at
least that would be honest.
It's true. Mark gave me a bottle of water and we're about to talk about stuff.
I'm ready.
All right, Mark. I am so obsessed with Ted Lasso.
That is no secret.
That yesterday during a medical procedure where I was anesthetized, when I came out of the anesthesia.
Yes.
They said to me, Christina, are you awake? They said, Christina, are you dreaming? And I said, no, I'm just listening to Ted Lasso.
Yeah, in your head.
In my head. Oh, this show.
Okay.
So, all right. You and I have a slightly different takes. I think that we both liked the last episode, but there were things that I found to be problematic.
Well, what a shock. That's because I am the more glowingly optimistic of the two of us.
We've discovered that you're actually more positive than I am about something, about television shows.
It's not that hard.
All right. So, Mark, you want to give me a hot take on season 3?
Yes. The job of a series finale is not to hand out presents like Santa Claus, mm-hmm. which I know a lot of people, I'm not saying you are one of them, mm-hmm. but a lot of people, that's what they want. They're like, okay, it's the last episode. I'm shipping Ted and Rebecca. I want that to happen. I want Keeley and Roy to be together forever mm-hmm. and Jamie to win the World Cup and, you know, whatever else, mm-hmm. right? I want May's bar to be so successful she has to expand it and takes up the whole block, you know, whatever, right? That's what some people think a finale is about. Mm-hmm. And it's not that.
Right.
First of all, it's one episode in a series. Yes, it's a very important episode, but it's just one episode in the series. You should always judge a TV show, I think, by the totality of your experience. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, obviously, there are some cases where the ending was so bad that people then hated the whole series.
Game of Thrones.
Hi, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
We're talking about you. So there's a lot of pressure put on the finales of mm-hmm. these shows. Mm-hmm. It used to be shows would just like end, right? They were just like, oh, we're not renewing you. Guess that's it, mm-hmm. right? But now we're obsessed with this completion mm-hmm. and, you know, have a final episode and wrap all the loose ends up when really it's just another episode in the story, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily everybody's going to be, their lives aren't complete. Right. They continue mm-hmm. on, presumably. But I do understand that people have things they want to see. And if they don't see them, it upsets them. Mm-hmm. Or if they see something legitimately poorly done. I have more sympathy for that.
I want to hear your overall feeling about season three. Because season three has taken some heat. Well, by critics and fans alike.
Whatever. But you know what? People like what they like, right? But guess what? Tons of people still watch the show. Tons of people are still invested in the characters. I say boo-hoo to them, mm-hmm. right? If you didn't like the show, okay, stop watching it. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You still watched it. Mm-hmm. And you weren't hate-watching it either. That don't lie to me about that. Nobody hate-watches Ted Lasso. It is not possible.
No.
So, look, the whole show was really about, yes, it's a fish-out-of-water story and all that, but it's about the power of positivity to make change in people's lives. That's what it's about. Ted said so.
Okay, but I think that there's also the subtext to the entire show, and I don't even know if it's subtext. I think it's actually text, is that there's this whole thing about father-son relationships.
That was a part of it, certainly. Yeah.
So you still feel that season three was as consistent as the previous two?
I don't even know how to quantify that. I thought it was a very good season.
Okay. For me, I thought that the season was inconsistent overall. You made the remark that you wanted to see Nate's
redemption arc. But if he didn't have a redemption arc, I wouldn't be mad at the show.
No, but listen, we'll get there in a minute. But here's my point. You said you wanted to see his redemption arc, and to an extent, we did see it. We know that he had one, mm-hmm. but there were key moments of his redemption arc that we were not privy to. And I know that Nick Muhammad, who is the guy who plays Nate, he made some comments on Twitter that recently happened. I think it happened with him yesterday. But there was a lot that went on behind the scenes that we didn't see. We know that it happened, but we didn't get to see it. And I think that some of those things would have been good to see. I think that there was primacy given to things that I didn't think were super strong storylines. But okay, inconsistent, but overall really good. Still, Ted Lasso. I mean, it was still, and they had some of the episodes were just outstanding.
Sure.
Like Mom City, I thought was a great episode, but there are things about that episode that just enrage me.
Which is good. It should enrage you.
Right, right. The season finale, I loved so much of it. There were moments that made me cry. Like I was literally, choked up.
And you weren't even under anesthesia at that time.
No, I wasn't. I was choked up with Nate and Ted's encounter.
Yeah.
There was a lot that choked me up. Rebecca and Ted saying goodbye at the airport, that choked me up. In the final montage, when Keeley comes to Rebecca with her
idea,
and it's like a Keeley Jones joint, and they obviously are very excited, and it's a women's football team.
Yeah.
I'm like 100% into that, especially now I've been playing football.
I know you have been.
Again, pieces of it that I really, really loved. But there is just the ending to me was really unsatisfying, and not because I feel that Ted and Rebecca should have ended up together.
Which you definitely do.
No, as of probably two episodes ago, I kind of thought, like that's probably not where it's going to go. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And there was no foundation for it.
I'll disagree. None. Okay, I there are many people who believe the way that you do, but I'll disagree with that. We can talk about that in a little bit. But the ending just struck me as, I think, just sad. I think that the ending was sad.
Endings often are.
And they are, and I get that. I'm not debating that, right. But it's Ted Lasso and the power of positivity. And I just would have liked, personally, and this is just me, I would have liked a little bit happier of an ending. And I think that there were elements of that ending that to me did not feel happy. Now, Brendan Hunt was on an Ask Me Anything today on Reddit, and he spoke to some of these things, and we'll talk about that throughout the episode. One of the big complaints that I'm seeing online are from the Ted Becca fandom. The people who really wanted Ted Becca.
Yeah.
And I did. I thought that they would have made a fantastic couple. They had great chemistry. However, when I would think about it, I would think to myself, there's absolutely no way, really, Rebecca would be with Ted. But then at the same time, they had such great chemistry, Jason right. and Hannah. And I feel like I wish that they had explored that. But they chose to not, and I was really okay with that. However, there are loads and loads of people, and I have nothing but sympathy for them, because probably at the end of last season, if I was watching this and that had happened, where I was like deeply, deeply invested in Ted and Rebecca being together, I would have been wrecked about it. I would have been really angry about the way the show ended. The people online are saying they gave us all of these red herrings, essentially. Like, they punked us. Like, they gave us signals throughout the whole thing that there was some kind of connection between Ted and Rebecca, and they punked us, and there never was. And you're saying there
I would
never
say,
was any foundation.
I would say you saw those because you wanted to see them. Mm-hmm. There, I mean, Ted and Rebecca had a relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. And it went from, you know, one thing, which was basically he was just her way of getting back at Rupert, mm-hmm. to becoming very dear, lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. At no point in this relationship did I ever get a whiff of anything, any kind of sexual attraction between them. He was always nice and sweet to her. She was respectful and admiring of Ted. Show me where the sex was.
There's an interesting thing that's cropping up, and I bet that this is what, because there are many people online who say the same thing that you do. There's no basis in this. There's no foundation.
And even if there was, so what? People behave like that all the time, where there's like a brief attraction, but they decide not to act on it because they choose the other kind of relationship with that person.
All right.
That's real.
Many people saw things that were romantic and loving. Remember, of course,
they were looking at too much fan art.
Hang on. But I'm wondering if it's a thing where, you know, like women tend to, I'm making a huge generalization here, find romance in signs of love. It can be also, you know, that there's good chemistry. But when you're thinking about a romance movie, it's not like Tom Hanks looking at Meg Ryan and going, I want to bang her.
Maybe he should have.
No, it's more that
Bangless in Seattle.
Like, he falls in love with her and, you know, that there's this love connection, that there's like this burning passion and love.
Of course.
And not as much about sexual attraction necessarily.
Right.
And you are saying that I never saw that they were sexually attracted to each other. And I think that most people who ship them were looking at the signs that they should be together. Hang on. And
like,
well, like, you know,
no, I don't
the
know.
The matchbook. And then Ted pulled a matchbook out of his pocket and the blue and red magnet. And everybody was like, that's Ted. That's significant of Ted and Rebecca. And then also Rebecca at a more recent episode, pulling the matchbook and the army guy out of her purse and has to pull them apart.
Yeah.
So there it could be, well, as the choice of Sam or Ted, because he gave her the army guy. And he gave her an army guy that was going to always be there to protect her.
An army guy.
Yes, he did. But hers was like...
Whose army guy was it in the last scene?
Was Jamie's.
Should we ship Jamie and Ted? I mean, he gave him an army guy. He obviously was important.
But
was it romantic?
But it wasn't in a romantic way. And I
neither
think
was
people,
the one he gave
yeah, okay,
to Rebecca.
Yeah, okay, but you say that, but I think that people see it as romantic, especially because she pulled it. Yes, of course, because they wanted to. But they're reading these things as significant of what they're feeling. You know?
Well, here's what we're not going to do. Hmm. We're not going to go all Derrida here and claim there's no truth.
There is no truth. No, this is very subjective.
I know, I'm just teasing.
It's very subjective.
But we're definitely still not going Derrida, though.
No, but this is...
Or Foucault.
Well, Foucault would be more interested with the sexual dynamics, we are. All right, see, to me, I can see where the romantic things are, and plus things that they talked about in interviews, saying things like they're soulmates and all of that. Yeah. So saying a soulmate, that's pretty charged. Now, today, Brendan Hunt in the AMA said, well, you can be soulmates without
romantic love.
Without romance.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I think that's an interesting lesson, right? Because so often we feel that men and women can't be friends.
Well, right? this is when Harry met Sally. I know,
exactly. It's the Harry met Sally argument, right? Women and men can't be friends. If they're friends, it's always going to be affected by sexual chemistry, romantic feelings, etc. And here's a pure, amazing example of a friendship that grew from really working across purposes and being taken advantage of to now the closest of friends, right? Super close friends. Mm-hmm. Very invested in each other's well-being, et cetera, without all that disgusting sex stuff or romance, right? No. And that's a good lesson to take from that is to say, among the other, 20 or 30,000 lessons you can take from Ted Lasso, is that here's a beautiful relationship between Ted and Rebecca that didn't have to be about dating each other.
I think, to be fair to the shippers, I think that there is ambiguity there.
Yeah.
And I think today, one of the things that Brennan Hunt said on the AMA was, why didn't Ted and Rebecca say they loved each other at the airport?
Too much.
Because Ted had shared feelings of love for others already, right?
Right.
So those words had been shared by others. And they're wondering, why didn't he say it to Rebecca? Why was it hard for him to say it to Rebecca? And Rebecca didn't say it to him either.
And so this was the
question. And so Brendan Hunt's response to that was, I think that they were both struggling at the airport, not sure, like they wanted to say they loved each other, but they didn't because they were worried saying that would open up a can of worms.
Absolutely.
So that means, because I say to my friends all the time, I love you.
Yeah.
And if I had a close male friend who I loved, right, I would say, I love you. That would not bother. I wouldn't be, I'd be like, oh, I love you. And I would never
but
think
in
that
an
it was
intense, emotional moment like that, where they're parting for some period of time at the very least, mm-hmm, right? That message would probably be much more charged than normal. And I think that's an even
Because they're
the reality.
A man and a woman?
Yeah, exactly right.
So the reality is that men and women can be friends, except if it's in an emotionally
absolutely
charged point in their relationship,
see,
and then they run the risk
of things boiling over.
That's exactly what you said. You just said before.
You might want to calm down here before I have to take you down a peg or two.
You just said before
that men
and women can be friends,
they can.
And now you're giving a caveat. Well, they can.
That's right. But they can also be
not just friends, soulmates. They can be soulmates.
That's right.
But unless they're brought into a tense situation where they have to say goodbye,
that's a complete wrong
take.
Let me explain it to you, or did you want to just filibuster for a while?
I was enjoying that filibuster.
I'm sure you were. So here's the, I think, correct way of looking at it. Their relationship demonstrated, let's say, that this show allowed for a male-female friendship. That friendship was unencumbered by a romantic entanglement. But that doesn't mean that the issue doesn't exist, right? Because we know that women and men, assuming that they're straight, mm-hmm, can have sexual and romantic feelings towards each other. And society in general thinks that it's almost inevitable. It's also not news that Ted can't always say the tough emotional thing, like with Nate. Right? Because Ted is not as positive and amazing as he is, he's not a perfect person. He's very flawed in many ways.
Incredibly.
Especially when it comes to intimacy. So he would be sensitive to, look, we're both in an emotional state right now. We're saying goodbye. We're crying. If I say I love you, could she misinterpret that? That's a perfectly normal thing.
She
to
was
think.
Also struggling, according to Brennan Hunt, they were both struggling with whether to say it. So
right, because there's no indication that either one of them wants a romantic relationship with the other. You can wish there was one, and you can look and create signs of it if you wish, but there was no long-term, hey, they're going to get together. It's not a Sam and Diane thing.
I think that a lot of people would disagree. I think that they would say that they find, and it could be that they were reading, obviously they were, because Brendan Hunt, again today, said that the writers, of course, did consider a Ted Rebecca.
Of course, because you have to.
But he's like, essentially it was like not very seriously.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it probably make my life easier if they had gotten together.
No.
Because you would be like, over the moon.
And the reason that I'm not putting up as spirited of a defense of this is because I really, towards the end, I was like,
let's not ship them.
I was because I thought to my, well, we'll get to it. It's something to do with Ted, actually, as a character that made me think that. For me, there were just signs. I just saw the signs. And I thought to myself, well, you know, they're going to make, all the rom-com references, rom-communism, as a matter of fact, a term being coined by this show. And again, constant. Every episode references to romantic comedy movies, implicit or explicit.
But there were plenty of romances in the show.
Yeah. Well, of course there were, but also, and again, today it was discussed on the AMA that we as a culture are programmed to think that if there are a male and a female lead, that there has to be some kind of relationship.
Which is why I think it was more interesting that there wasn't.
Well, I mean, that may have been the choice. It may have been like, rom-coms, but you know, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. This show is not what you think that this show is about.
It's
that
more Schmigadoon than Brigadoon. And by the way, if you have never seen the show Schmigadoon on Apple Plus,
they've got Schmicago now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, so now let's kind of move away from that ship and talk about character by character, their arc briefly, how it goes through the season, and then what we think of their conclusion. So let's do Keeley.
You know, she started this series as, and it depends on which phrase you like better, a page six or a page three girl, right?
Uh-huh.
She's always had kind of a level of wisdom and kind of awareness. But of course she was involved with Jamie first, which is a little bit of a stereotypical relationship, right? Pro footballer, bombshell model. And she gets more serious as a person and more complex as a character as the series progresses. So she and Jamie end it. She is then involved with Roy, which is always, I think any relationship with Roy is instantly interesting because of how guarded he is. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of went astray a little bit. I know you didn't like the story arc. I was okay with it because it did show that she's not just marching straightforward into a massive success, but she got involved with Jack. Obviously that was a bit of a turn. She was then no longer kind of boss ass business girl. She was meek girlfriend getting taken care of and told what to do. Which, you know, you can be that person, that's fine, but she really wasn't naturally that person. And true to form, she breaks free of that. She's going to resist that kind of yoke. Now she's back to being, she pitched her idea to Rebecca, who's her dearest friend, and she's back to being, you know, boss ass business girl, lady, bitch, whatever, right?
Business girl, lady, the level of misogyny.
It's just colloquialisms.
It's off the charts, yes, but yes, well. Proceed.
And
how about businesswomen?
Sure.
Businesswoman.
Sure, that's fine.
There we go.
It's not that fun, but okay. And her relationship with men, with the two men, at least that were most important to her, is kind of in limbo at this point, right? Mm. We don't know whether she did kind of, you know, make fun of both of them for thinking they could decide which one she's going to be with. And right now it's neither one. Mm-hmm. Like she had a reunion fling with Roy, but who knows where that's going
to
go.
Keeley always seems to either give you like a go away fuck or,
if you're going to be told to leave, that's not a bad way to do it.
Like you with Jamie, remember she was upset with Roy. So she shagged Jamie.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, she's so honest about it. She's like, yeah, I did this and told Roy, and then now with Roy, she's done with Roy and she's like, well, you're being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I
want to reward that. Yeah, exactly. So very satisfying character arc for Keeley. Mm-hmm. Not a huge one, right? She was an important character, but certainly, you know, she didn't have as much going on drama wise as some of the others.
Yeah.
Or as big a change. Mm-hmm. I think she was always kind of shrewd a shrewd business person and very hardworking.
Yeah.
And you saw that as she like launched Banter.
Yeah.
And, you know, started taking over the marketing for the players, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a very satisfying arc.
Yeah.
Not super dramatic.
For me, Keeley was one of the issues, one of the problems that I had with season three, not with the season finale, with season three. And that is to do with KJPR and how that story unfolded. I had no problem with the fact that she was given that opportunity. I thought that was great as the end of season two. And then to see her do that in season three, I like that. Some people didn't like it because they felt that it pulled her, you know, kind of pulled all the characters apart. They weren't as interactive. And so you were seeing these different, you know, their side stories and stuff like that. And a lot of people didn't like that. And fair enough.
That's kind of how life works,
well,
I think.
But at any rate, the Jack relationship was a strange choice for Keeley to have made, because Keeley did want that independence and she did want to be her own person, has been, and has been walking those steps towards that. And then here we go, and she's having a relationship now with ostensibly her boss. I mean, it's a very complex power dynamic relationship, and we see how
her
it
source
ends.
Of funding, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
this is a toxic relationship.
She makes a bad choice.
She does. And she got sucked in by a narcissist.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we can really diagnose
Jack
as
you hear
a
me?
Narcissist,
well,
Mark.
I think you can.
You feel like, speaking of, didn't we just do an episode where
we
said that people use that term too?
That's right.
Easily?
That's why I'm using it exactly correctly.
No.
I'm limiting it to one person in this show. Although I think you have to say Rupert probably is one too.
Yeah, no. I mean,
she had all the signs of a controlling,
an unhealthy relationship, and Rebecca shared that with her and said, look, this is where this is how it was with Rupert.
Now, you could say that's cliche in this day and age to make the relationship be toxic because the person is a narcissist, right?
Yeah.
But it could have been for some other reason.
No, I mean, I'm okay with her having, you know, investigating that, but it just was, I felt that storyline took away from other things that could have been more explored more, you know. So I think that they overuse this sort of plot device where in other parts of the series where you get right up to the action happens off screen.
I thought that was interesting.
You only see, but they did it a lot.
Yeah.
It's
you could
fine.
Argue that it was somewhat overdone, but it was sort of a trademark. And I just found that interesting that they would take these leaps, because honestly, the opposite of that is to spoon feed you everything. And you know I don't like that.
No, I know. No, I guess that there are certain things that would have been pleasant to see. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in Nate's section. But I will say that I felt that attention was given to KJPR so that we could get Keeley.
Yeah.
Which is important.
Sure.
They made it harder on themselves because they had it would have been easier if Keeley was interacting in the club, but she wasn't. She was outside of the club mostly now. And
because she's spreading her wings,
yes,
right?
I get that. In the end, I think that they had to dedicate more screen time so that Keeley would have space that took away from other storylines that I think would have been better to have fleshed out. I think that that's, you know, there.
Which storyline do you feel like was neglected?
The biggest storyline that I think we missed a lot because it all happened behind scenes is actually Nate's. Multiple, and episode after episode, things were left out and you were meant to imagine what those things were. You didn't, it didn't happen as much to me, I don't think, in previous seasons. I don't know, maybe it was, because I really would have liked to have seen Nate quit.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that scene.
Well,
to have seen him give it to Rupert.
He didn't give it to Rupert.
No, but I mean, I'd have liked to have seen him quit.
I think that scene is at the club. That's what you really should treat that scene as, where he wouldn't go and hang out with Rupert with all the girls or whatever, and he went back to his girlfriend and said, you know what?
So you think that's what happened and then Rupert fired him?
No. That's what you should use as your quitting scene, right? Because that's where he made his choice. I'm sure there was a scene where he actually resigned or did whatever, probably sent a text or something.
Mm-hmm.
But or maybe Rupert actually, you know, did fire him. I don't think so. I think he quit. But But I think that, is it important for us to have seen the resignation? I think it's more important that you want to see where he made that decision. And he made that decision for good and all at the club.
Yeah.
And he said,
you may be right about that, honestly.
He said, you know what?
That's probably a good
way
to look
at it. That's the life of highfalutin douchebag soccer owners. And I could be a part of that. And I always wanted to be important and, you know, rich and all those things. But I would do anything for football, but I can't do that.
Suddenly he's Meatloaf.
He's the Meatloaf of the Ted Lasso universe. And he made his choice. He went back to Jade. And then, you know, he shows up. And I thought that was I have the opposite take. I think that was a nice reveal where he's working at the Greek restaurant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Now we know, you know, Nate has now returned to more humble origins. He's with his girlfriend, mm-hmm. who he clearly cares very much about, and he loves that restaurant.
Talking, though, about Keeley and kind of wrapping that up before we say a little bit more about Nate, Keeley for me then at the end, I liked that she chose neither guy. That decision had integrity. I know that there were people that were hoping for Rory and Keeley to end up back together, but I think this makes fine sense. Keeley needs a season on her own here for
absolutely.
A you can't say that she isn't out there grinding. I mean, she really is. And she's being true to who she was really at the end of episode or season two.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm going to be this business. I'm going to put some time into myself. All right. So let's see. Let's talk a little bit more about Nate.
Yeah.
Because he did have a big arc this season.
He had the most dramatic
roller coaster.
Yeah. He had the most dramatic arc. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And he starts off as the humble kit man. Right. He's mm-hmm. taking care of the boots.
Yep.
And the shirts.
Yep.
And you know, helping out with the pitch.
Yeah.
Okay, if you don't know these words, you did not watch Ted Lasso. So turn off your phone right now. And then, you know, they learn that he has this kind of football genius, mm-hmm. right? He can see things that other people don't, which is something his dad says later on when his dad stopped being an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this very, very shy guy.
Yeah. And he works his way into the limelight.
And then he has this break with Ted because Ted also became enamored of Roy as a coach. And Nate, who's very insecure, plummeted, right? He just spiraled on that. He acted out and he has a lot of self-hatred. Very clearly evidenced by him spitting on his own image. In the mirror.
When he was like trying to hide himself up.
Yeah, he's like himself up.
Yeah, so he breaks with the team, and then he goes and he goes even higher into the spotlight.
Yeah.
With
as he's coasting West Ham, coaching
West Ham.
Yeah,
and then leaves there, and that was now the assistant to the kit man.
Right, which they're just trying to kind of say, you know, hey, you're welcome back in, and you have to kind of start over.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's not like they're going to ignore his football genius.
Well, no, they don't. They're already in the first episode or in the first game with him back. Yeah. They do his play where Jamie is the decoy.
Hey, it's me. Pass it to me. Hey, please.
He does exactly what Ted did in the initial episode. I've had great callbacks in this episode. To me, again, I mentioned that I thought that there were a couple of scenes that I would have liked, or at least I said that I wanted to see him quit with Rupert. But additionally, there were some other scenes that I would have liked to have seen to add a little basis of some foundation. Because for Nate being asked to come back to the team, I would have liked for us to have seen the team have that decision. Okay. But that, again, that happened off screen. And then all of a sudden you have Will and Isaac and Colin come to ask, just say, we want to have you back.
To me, I'm fine not being spoon-fed that.
Okay. You know, let's not be disdainful. It's not spoon-feeding me.
But you have to be spoon-fed some things, right? Or you're not going to know what the fuck is happening in the show.
Right.
But I don't mind that they do that. I think it's a clever bit of show running to surprise the viewers a little bit with kind of the fait accompli and then let them imagine how that went down. And while still showing us plenty of content, it's not like these are 10-minute shows.
No, I mean, I think that they were bloated and then not fleshed out properly.
Oh my God.
I felt that there was a little too much fat. And this is one of, or not, maybe not enough fat. Hang on. Maybe they were more, they're a little too lean.
All right, yeah, I was going to say.
I need more flavor.
Calm down over there, Jack Spratt.
I need some more fat.
Need more flavor.
I do. There are a lot of people that feel that way. One of the thoughts is that, you know, like it's a great, and again, these are really nitpicks.
They really are. And I'm going to say this. If you can't be overwhelmingly positive about a show about positivity,
I know
you might be
broken, fundamentally
broken in some way.
So I guess speaking of how my, you know, personal experience can come to play.
Sure.
Let's talk about Ted's arc.
Oh, yeah. Ted is a much more complicated character, I think, than he was originally given credit for.
I think by the end of the first season, you were on to it. You knew that there was a lot, there was more going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're not wrong. I think that he is even more complex than was recognized.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think people wanted that as soon as he, you know, went through the therapy and all that, that it'd just be over. Mm-hmm. He'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's not really how, I mean, that's, as you would say, that's an origin wound,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, he's got, well, and that's the problem.
At least one.
He's got at least one. And I think that he's got a big gaping second one.
Yeah.
That
with the way his mom didn't handle things.
Oh God.
You're like caustic.
Oh, God. Yeah. So my thing with Ted's arc, I thought that, again, it was made clear why in a kind of prosaic way at the end, but still tugged at your heartstrings, is that Ted in this season was very much kind of in the background. There was a lot of it was, you know, again, scenes about Keeley and other stuff, other scenes. And Ted is just like really sort of pulling back from it, which makes sense in terms of what is going on in the episode and in the season arc. Okay.
Of course.
So Ted has felt absent from it. And the times and certain of the encounters that he has just goes to show you're more messed up. You're more complex.
Yeah.
And by complex, I'm saying messed up. I mean, he's got a lot more
he's
to heal.
He's got a lot of problems.
Than we realized. And there were especially, okay, so for instance, in the first one that really comes to mind is when Sassy says, he says, hey, maybe we should start to date.
She's
and
like,
she's
oh
like,
my
oh
God,
no,
you're
a mess.
Fucking mess, bro.
You're a mess.
You're a mess, bruv.
And so.
In it.
And so I was like, oh my God, you know, like.
Sassy knows.
He is. Kind of, you know, there's more going on here. So for me, I think that I would have liked to have seen him not as easily manipulated by his mother.
Yeah.
And my problem, and this is the big problem that I have, I understand why he did it. I understand that he has to go home. I get it. I understand that that is the thing that makes sense in terms of Ted's character. But it's so frustrating to see a character that you really like to really kind of, he's still in his arc.
Yeah.
And you
absolutely.
Don't get to see the end of his
you
arc.
Don't.
This is not the end of his arc. Ted as a character, as a human being, is still on his arc.
And
he's on his arc, other arcs underneath it have gone, you know, from A to B,
completed.
Are more completed.
Yeah.
But his is still, you know, it's still up. It's maybe it hasn't even crested yet.
Okay, so let's say we're doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Lasso comes to our podcast.
Oh,
right? He's sitting here in the studio.
Oh, my God. Now, is it Ted Lasso or is it Jason Statham?
I mean, you choose.
I mean, wow.
But let's calm down over there. Let's say it's Ted Lasso, right?
Uh-huh.
How would Ted Lasso react to your feeling that he wasn't as present in episode 3 as you wanted him to be?
In season 3, you mean?
Yeah. What did I say? Episode 3?
Uh-huh.
In season 3, that he wasn't as present as you wanted him to be.
That's the prosaic part that was revealed in the finale.
Right.
It's not about me changing the name. It's not about me. It's never been, you know, it never was. It was never
That's
about
right.
him.
And in a way, he's almost a mystical figure.
Yeah, like the Mary Poppins. That's
right.
bandied about quite a bit
sure.
online.
And, but a much more complex version. I mean, Mary Poppins didn't have unresolved origin wounds, mm-hmm. you know, or anything mm-hmm. like that, right? Well,
right.
And that you're correct. That's what he would say. He was like, yes, the show is called Ted Lasso, mm-hmm. but Ted Lasso, Ted really, and part of, you know, his pathology really, is he served to help other people become better people. And he didn't accomplish that for himself, at least not yet. Now mm-hmm. He's done some things to make himself less unhappy.
Yes.
Right. But Ted Lasso doesn't necessarily have a Ted Lasso, right? Mm-hmm. He had a therapist for a while, but then he felt like she abandoned him, right? Because that's his thing, right? He feels abandoned.
What, you think he felt abandoned by?
He told her.
Sharon Fieldstone?
Yeah. Remember, he was yelling at her in her office, and she's like, he's like, you didn't even say goodbye.
Oh, well,
he's
that like, was in season was two. In,
yeah, yeah. She's like, it was in the letter, Ted. Why I didn't read it?
Okay.
Well, that's really nice.
Oh, that's an interesting point about Ted, about that, where he got angry at her for not saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Because his mother peaced out without a goodbye.
And his dad, obviously, big goodbye.
Yes, it's an abandonment thing.
Ted has serious abandonment issues. His dad killed himself. His mother is terrible, right? And just kind of let him drift in his grief. His wife divorced him.
For his
marriage therapist. But so he's got some legitimate abandonment issues.
Yeah, no, absolutely he does.
And still does to a certain extent. But, and yes, it worked, and it was a terrible thing. When his mom said, you know, your son misses you. He's like, I know that.
So manipulative.
But Ted, more than anything, he does not want to abandon his son. That is a fundamental atomic thing about Ted Lasso. And in a way, because he needed to kind of get away and he had this job opportunity, he really did kind of have to be distant from his son, and it was tearing him apart. And even though it seems great, yeah, we'll just move everybody over to England. That's very kind of a Pollyanna, rose-colored
glass. Rebecca could make that happen.
She could make it happen, but then you're using like a deus ex machina sort of thing. We're just going to take Rebecca's wealth and solve all of our problems.
Well, they did that once
and
with Keely
already
this
season.
With a
shared custody arrangement, unless, you know, what's-her-name really wanted to move to England, it's not happening.
No, but that would have been...
And you got to bribe her with a big house?
Yeah, no, she'd have to have come with... But she would have been able to pursue a career. Rebecca would have helped facilitate that. No, absolutely. I agree with what you're saying.
That's a Santa Claus approach.
But he was being offered generation-changing wealth.
Right, which...
To work there. Okay, now hang on. Hear me out.
Yeah.
And he didn't, as far as we know, even consult with Michelle on that. Because understanding that... might have made her more interested in him pursuing it and her moving over there, whether or not they're together.
Yeah.
But she would have her own thing over there.
I mean, if you don't know anything about Ted Lasso, except for this, he's not motivated by wealth.
No, clearly not.
And by the way,
he's going back to that, whatever that is, colonial Kansas City.
Yeah, but let's not, I mean, he was not poor, right? And even a fairly low, a not so famous college football coach still gets paid decent money, especially if you can win the championship, right? He's making hundreds of thousands of dollars. He was making hundreds of thousands of dollars in Richmond as a coach. He wasn't there making 50 grand.
Well, he's had to have been making over $1 million, wouldn't
Well, not necessarily.
Don't you think?
No, not necessarily. People, no, they like the biggest, I think. The highest paid football coach right now is like $5 or $6 million because they don't get paid like the players do. So they still get, more than most CEOs make.
Yeah.
Right. But so he's making hundreds of thousands. Let's say he's making, $500,000 a year. And it's not like he forgot how to coach. He can definitely still get a job coaching. His goal is not to become a millionaire.
I understand that, but to me, that's
your goal, which is great.
Right.
I'm along
but
for
I
the
just,
ride. Trust
I
me.
Just, I just, I don't know. Like I
encourage you to become a millionaire whenever you're ready.
Maybe he, I don't know. I just find it hard to imagine that someone wouldn't look at that kind of wealth that you could be.
It's because you're cold and calculated.
I guess I am, but I can't imagine that he would do that. But anyway, that's one of the things is that he didn't even consult with Michelle on that.
She has no business having any input.
Well, she obviously has input, though, because she's, you know, she's at least a motivating factor. I don't know. I don't think that they end up together. Do you think that they end up together?
I don't think so. If he does, that's another huge mistake.
But I think that when I watched that last scene and you see his face, it reminded me, of course, of the close-up of Nate at the end of season two. The smile that Ted had, I mean, I know that he's glad to be back with Henry, but there was just something, I don't know if it was wistful or and confused.
But that's normal and healthy.
I don't know. I just feel...
You left behind all these great friends, which of course he's wistful and sad about that. That's normal.
When I see that he sacrificed himself, he's still not okay. And like we said, his arc, my hope here, though, the thing that's sort of making me feel okay, because I am so attached to these characters, like I'm inordinately attached to these characters.
Yeah, I agree.
that I am so hopeful that Ted, even though, you know, it's not a linear process.
His right. Maybe there'll be like a Ted comic book or something with the rest of the story.
Maybe Ted and Michelle try again. It wouldn't be unusual for that to happen.
Don't do a Ted run.
But it wouldn't. It obviously wouldn't work. It probably wouldn't work, and all of this. So, you know, I know there's lots of life ahead of Ted, and that's what I'm pinning my hope on. Which is like, okay, like I know that you're still on your journey. Your journey hasn't ended. A lot of others have had more of an arc than you, but yours hasn't ended, and that's what I'm holding on to, because otherwise, the way he looked at the end was so sad, and he was manipulated into going back. And I'm
but
not
it's
sure
also
he would...
what he really wanted to do.
I don't know if he wanted to go back. I think he might have. You know, I think he actually might. Well, I don't know. I can't. I know he wanted to be with Henry.
Yeah.
And I suppose he thought to himself, maybe he really legitimately cannot envision a world where it makes sense to uproot Henry to bring him to England.
I personally think that living overseas is very enriching, having done it. But it is tough for a kid. Now he's got to be a new kid. He's the American. You know, I mean, that's definitely something you have to consider. Mm-hmm. And for a kid who just went through his parents splitting up, you want to give them as much stability and normality as you can.
Michelle wasn't that concerned about it initially. She's the one that said, "Ted, I need space," and brought him over there. That's what brought him over there in the first place.
Right. Well, she's a horrible person. I mean, we don't like Michelle.
No, I know. Michelle's, I wouldn't, I hope that he's not back with Michelle. But anyway.
In your imaginary continuation of the story, you mean?
The ending to me would have been better if I would have liked it if he had stayed and brought them over. Yeah. That's what I would have liked. And I feel would have probably been more realistic, honestly. But
a little Disney, but.
But whatever.
Yeah.
What man do you think is going to turn that down to go back and coach his
The exact
kids?
Man that Ted Lasso has been telling you that he is for three seasons.
God.
You just didn't want to hear it.
I said, I'm telling you, realistic men, I said. Not Ted. Ted Lasso is not realistic. There's nothing realistic about Ted.
I mean, obviously, I would have taken the millions,
right.
Matthew, see you next summer. Or feel free to come visit your dad, but I'll be here making millions of pounds sterling, by the way.
Right.
I like the Ted Lasso character, like not just, you know, admiring the art of it, but I like him as an imaginary person, right?
Yeah.
Of course I want to see him get all the goodies, right? Mm-hmm. I want him to be rich and happy and have love and his child and everything and win every football game he ever coaches. But I also recognize that's on some level unsatisfying because then you get everything that you want and then now you're on this sugar high and you didn't eat your broccoli.
All right. So who haven't we talked about? Beard?
Yeah, we could do Beard.
Let's talk about Beard.
Beard was a big reveal
about
in this episode. Yeah.
Ted.
Where he's basically, you know, just always kind of been this comedic sidekick. And kind of Ted's, you know, sage when it comes to football and, you know, kind of a stabilizing force for Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Beard was a bit of a fuck up.
Yeah.
Willis.
Willis is his name.
Willis Beard.
Willis Beard.
But I think that was a very clever way to point out to us that we really didn't know very much about Beard because nobody knew his first name until this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know, you know, his origin story, which was amazing. I thought. We always knew that Beard was, you know, like a half a bubble off center, right?
Yeah.
Especially on that amazing, which I love,
Beard Night Out. Yeah.
Beard Night Out Beard's was Night one Out. Of my yeah. favorite episodes.
It was a good episode.
I know it was a non sequitur when it came to the story, mm-hmm. but I thought it was an amazing bit of television.
I loved that episode.
Yeah. So, I mean, we learned a ton about him, and now he's found, you know, kinky love.
Passionate love is what
no
he
doubt.
Says, but everybody all season was like, it's an abusive relationship.
And it is a bit, and right? It, but it's kind of like that they're into it.
Yeah.
You know, like it is abusive, but that's my thing.
That's right.
I like it.
Right, right, right. And I think that there were a number of people who, in the end, were really surprised, taken back and upset about yeah. And so, you know, just like, why would this be who he chooses, yeah. number one? And then the fact that Ted was not at the wedding. A lot of people were like, right. why would they're so close? There's no way. And that's what's led to this theory that the montage was a dream.
Which we now know it was not.
It was not. It was real. According
well, and then what does the real Beard have to say about that? He said that he had a friend.
Yeah.
He has a friend who is super, super close with. Mm-hmm. And the guy decided to get married. And he's like, it's short notice. I understand if you can't come. I just want to let you know you're welcome if you do. And the guy, and Brendan was like, well, you know, I can't because I had this other thing. And we were cool with it.
Yeah.
You know, it was totally fine. And he's like, Ted needs to get back and see his son. That mm-hmm. to go to his son's soccer game. That is the most important thing, you know, mm-hmm. most important thing to him. And Beard would have been totally cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Beard doesn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit of artificial drama to think that you have to have a problem with that, right? Because
or,
people are
I wonder, do you feel like it's a, is it a man-woman thing? Like, I wonder, well, because I
oh,
actually.
Oh, maybe. Like, guys are like, who cares if he misses it? As long as
yeah.
you know.
We're buds.
Yeah,
we know we're
cool.
not, we're cool.
Round
and where
out,
where
yeah.
women might be a little bit more like, well, if you really loved me, you'd make this time for me. But I think that's a stereotype.
I think so,
because
too.
I have many friends that I, if something was like that, I'd be like, don't, you know, don't
yeah.
worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I have friends who didn't come to my weddings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure you did too.
Well, you didn't invite some,
well,
I would assume to
yeah,
some of them.
True enough. And I haven't gone to all of my friends' weddings.
Right.
Right. It doesn't mean I don't like them.
Right.
Although, you know, maybe some of you guys should take a hint.
Stop inviting me.
Yes. Come on. Sent you a toaster. Calm down. But, yeah, so I think that was just, again, I think that really illustrates, you know, kind of the casual cool they have mm-hmm. with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, look, you know, I love you. I know you love me. Congratulations on your wedding. I got to go see my kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, mazel tov.
Mm-hmm. All right. So three more people I want to talk about. Let's do Roy and Jamie together, because
yeah.
so much of this season
they do have an intertwined
was,
arc.
Yeah, was about their burgeoning friendship and how that works. And we had Jamie in the beginning of the season feeling insecure because of Zava coming onto
yeah,
the team.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then Roy seeing that and then agreeing to coach him. And then they go on, you know, they have an adventure together in the Amsterdam and the Sunflowers episode. And
yeah.
on through. And you can see that Jamie turns to Roy when he feels like he's lost his wings, as
yes.
he says.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden at the very last episode, now they're back to fighting over Keely.
Right. But that's kind of, again, I think they're basically just saying, look, this is what happens sometimes with friends, you know, and guys do dumb shit like that.
That's
right?
So funny, because that is exactly what Brendan
yeah.
said. They said, why would Jamie, his character arc has been so great. And then he says that about Keely's video.
Because guys are dumb.
Because guys are dumb. And that's
they
what
are.
That's what
yeah.
Coach
well,
Beard
right.
said on the AMA.
He's correct. So I think the Jamie Roy arc is super fascinating in the show.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites.
At the
honestly.
Very beginning, you know, Roy is the fading superstar mm-hmm. and Jamie's the upstart, you know, taking all the attention, the mm-hmm. shots, mm-hmm. you know.
And being just better because he's younger.
And being better, yeah. And maybe even better than Roy ever was, maybe. Right? Because he's a very gifted athlete, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And Roy.
And he looks pleased. Phil Dunster looks so good in those shorts.
There you go.
He really does, everyone.
He cuts a fine figure.
He does.
In his kit.
Phil, call me too.
We call that a kit, by the way.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, and they really are, and this is, of course, Jamie starts off as this brash, arrogant
mm-hmm. yep, yep.
prick. Mm-hmm. And then Roy is just mad, right? Mm-hmm. And that's characterized his career, really. Mm-hmm. But where that worked for him as a footballer, it works less well in life, mm-hmm. just being mad at everything. So they start hinting that maybe Roy isn't as horrible a human as he is because you get to see his relationship with Phoebe, mm-hmm, right? And that mm-hmm. lets you know that he's got, you know, he's old softy, you know, underneath all that
yeah.
crust.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jamie, after his relationship with Keeley ends, mm-hmm. Starts kind of a maturation process, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And so as Roy's experiencing this kind of, you know, emotional opening, mm-hmm. and, you know, then he gets involved with Keeley, of course, mm-hmm. Even though he had a brief flirtation with her teacher mm-hmm. or somebody's teacher.
With Phoebe's teacher.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Jamie's on this maturation arc where he's taking, you know, his position on the team more seriously. Mm-hmm. And eventually it comes to a head where Jamie has this horrible confrontation with his abusive father. Mm-hmm. And Roy is there to offer him strength and mm-hmm. support mm-hmm. and love, right? Yeah. And, you know, hugs him, which is a very non-Roy thing, un-Roy right. thing to
well,
do.
Well, you think, but we know Roy is actually a softy, but yeah. also, but Roy and Jamie have, they kind of continue to bond and become friendly a little bit slower. They don't immediately become right. friends, right? So there's still, even though he hugs him there, there's still a little bit of time.
Right,
yeah. yeah.
As, but, you know, their relationship progresses and they have the moment in Amsterdam, right?
Yeah.
Where before that, Roy is still very much acting as Jamie's trainer.
Yeah.
Right? And just pushing him and making his life hell.
Yeah.
And then they have this moment in Amsterdam where we realize Roy doesn't know how to ride a bike mm-hmm. and they rent bikes and they almost kill themselves, you know, crashing around Amsterdam or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's where they really then come together as friends. Mm-hmm. And from then on, they've really been friendly, not without, you know. Some,
yeah. And then he goes to Uncle Day party and everything right. else. Yeah. Clearly the arc was
they're friends.
Their friendship really growing, but then this stupid thing with Keeley
again,
at the end.
That
just
happens
boys
with friends
are dumb.
Too. Yeah,
like, I just really think that's it. Guys are dumb,
and we've talked about this before on the podcast, where guys can have a knockdown, drag out fight and be best friends the next day.
Yeah, but it's so toxic.
And you can say it's a stereotype, but whatever. They illustrated that stereotype.
Yeah, yeah, okay? No, exactly right. Okay, so I mean, in the end, I thought it was good. Roy becomes the head coach. Jamie yeah. still obviously is soccer god. Keeley's not their girlfriend,
right.
either of them.
I thought it an interesting bit of progress in Jamie's arc was when he went from center forward to center attacking mid. I think from a football standpoint, that was very interesting. Because really, the attacking midfielder, the center attacking midfielder is the field general.
Right? Well, and that's what
Everything,
Jamie did.
And he was like,
is the eye cog.
Yeah, he's like,
he is the eye cog. He's the yeah, cog in the wheel. It
exactly.
goes through him.
He's like, don't go to me, go through me. And that's really where then the team starts to find success, because that really utilizes all of Jamie's talents mm-hmm. and allows him to not just, because the number nine position or the center attacking forward is really a very selfish position, because your whole job is to score goals.
Right.
You're not expected to do much of anything else. Mm-hmm. You just need to be there around the penalty spot when that ball comes loose and put it in the net.
Yep.
Right? Which is great. Let me tell you, that's yes. the best thing about soccer is scoring goals. But a more important player is probably the center attacking mid. Mm-hmm. Like he says, everything goes through me. He makes everything happen better for the team, so that's a less selfish position mm-hmm. as Jamie himself
is
becoming less.
Yeah, but he still can
score. Oh, of course he can.
Mid.
You have to. You know, as he becomes less selfish as a person and as a player, You know, I just thought it was a very interesting arc. I agree with you. That's one of my favorite relationships.
Yeah, Jamie and Roy's this season, that has been the joy to watch.
First of all, it's hilarious.
It is,
right?
It is. It's hilarious. The two of them together, Phil and Brett together, are hysterical, I love it. And it's a really uplifting arc. And, you know, I guess they can be forgiven at the end for being stupid and fighting over
Keely. They forgave each other.
And, well, I mean, I'm saying that it just... maybe a little bit lazy, but whatever. I mean, hey.
Well, I thought it was, I mean, it's kind of illustrative of how even if you've made all this progress, you're not immune from doing stupid shit.
Exactly, right.
And they're like, they thought they were being great guys by saying, you know what, you can choose which one of us you want.
Yeah.
Where obviously that's, you know, very tone deaf.
That's really obnoxious.
Yeah,
as
it's
a
like,
woman.
She was like, can I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Yeah. So, overall, very satisfying arc. Okay, let's talk about Trent Crim, Independent.
Oh. One of the greatest characters. Now, not a huge arc, but somewhat of an arc.
Pretty big arc. We learn more about who Trent is, and that's a great scene with he and Colin in Amsterdam, and Colin, you know, confirming with him that he's gay, and they're coming out to each other, and you just see, I just loved him. How he really integrated into the team.
I think the best really arc for him was he's an outsider, objective, journalistic, you know, critical of the team at times, certainly critical of Ted very much at times. And then he just kind of got charmed by Ted, right? And he said, okay, well, there's a story here. But I think also he just wanted to be around Ted, right? He found him to be a fascinating, interesting character. And then he, you know, as he gets, you know, he gets pulled into the Diamond Dogs and Trent Crim Independent is barking in a room with these football guys. Right.
Yeah.
And I just thought that's just hilarious. And, you know, I thought it was, I love him as a character because he's just so, you know, he's just so reserved, but you can tell he just really loves the atmosphere there, even though he doesn't feel like he's one of the guys necessarily because he's a journalist, right?
Right.
I really found it funny, though, when, you know, Roy is like, new Trent.
the guy,
I like you better than the old Trent. And the new guy from The Independent or whatever. And then Trent, like, sacrifices a lot for this group of guys, right? Because he tells Ted, he's like, you know, this is a betrayal of my journalistic ethics, but I'm going to tell you who the leak was.
Yeah, it was Nate.
Yeah, it was Nate the douchebag. And he was horrible.
No, it was terrible. It was terrible.
And then realizing that came at great personal cost to him, right? He loved being Trent Crim Independent.
Yeah.
So then he writes this book.
Now he's got this book, and again, we can talk about you know, Ted's critique. Beard had like...
I have a couple of notes. There's like 500 post-its everywhere. And he just like, no, I'm not doing that. No thanks.
And then, his direction was you might want to change the name because initially it was going to be The Lasso.
Which I know you think that that's clumsy.
That's a little bit like nose.
Well, I think it's an okay bit to be on the nose a bit. I mean, you're summing up your TV series.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was never just about me.
No, it never was. Right. And I get that. And
it was about this family of people.
Right. But I think that the storytelling could have said that itself on its own rather than having to have it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Have him write it out at the end. But I mean, it's fine. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It's just.
I mean, the alternative was for Trent to call it the Richmond Way and Ted to just give him a big check mark on the front of the cover. I mean, that's dumb. No, it's better the way they did it.
Okay. I like the Richmond Way, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
And all right. So what was your favorite callback in the final, in the season?
Not even a callback, but an Easter egg.
Oh, what in the last show? What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is it?
All right. So May. You know May,
yes.
Right? at the end walks over and adjusts the painting of Geronimo.
Yes.
Do you know what that's from?
From Cheers.
That's exactly right.
Cheers.
That's exactly right.
And Ted
Ted Danson?
No. Norm is George Wendt is Jason's uncle.
Uncle. Exactly right. So that was probably my favorite. I loved that.
Mine was Ted dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the running man.
Yeah, because he did that in the video with his college football team.
Yeah.
Yep. He's like, I'm always confused when I see a white man doing the running man. But yes, that was very cool. I love that. That was awesome.
That was a good one. All right. Who's your favorite character overall?
I don't know.
Roy Kent.
He's here. He's there. He's every fucking where. I love Roy Kent. He's probably my favorite character. Now, look, I love Ted. I think he was a great character, but I think I got the most laughs from Roy's character. Mm-hmm. And so I really loved him. How about you?
Rebecca.
Yeah. Christina is Rebecca.
No. I loved her. I didn't love the relationship with the
Dutch guy.
That doesn't make sense to me. I understand. I don't know. I mean, I thought the whole thing was super contrived and not in a good way.
Yeah.
How they met, you know, she falls into the canal and all of that. That I was just like, oh, come on. Why are
it's
we
magic.
Forcing her? I don't know. And I think these, I was still in my Ted Becca days.
Yeah, that's what I
during
think.
This one.
I think that really
but
tainted
I just
your
did
video.
Not see the same chemistry between the two.
Well, of course,
them.
They only had one episode.
Yeah, you know? So I just.
And half of it, she was passed out in the boat.
I know. It was just not a great. I don't know. I didn't feel like that was the lightning.
Yeah.
And according to Brendan Hunt today, that's in fact the lightning is the Dutch guy.
Yeah.
In her set of four predictions from the
lightning, which is unexpected, comes out of nowhere.
I don't see it, but it's just and also again, we saw none of it. We just saw that one night. I don't know. I just wish that had been I wish it was somebody else good.
Like who?
I feel like she settled for fine here with this guy.
You don't know that at all.
Yeah. That's no, I feel like she's still settled for fine. I really do. Maybe her arc is still unfolding. They've only just now, Rebecca has been able to feel like disentangled from Rupert.
Right.
This is her bad pancake. This is her bad pancake. And then after this, who knows? So, okay, let's see. Season four possibilities. No one, including Brendan Hunt today,
will say no. They definitely need a break, right?
Yes.
Because, look, it is very hard to crank out shows at that high level in that short period of time.
All right. What else do you want to say about this fine television show?
Look, it's a singular show, unlike anything we've really seen before.
Mm-hmm, I agreed.
Inspirational. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're not going to love every single thing about it. That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I would hope that people don't get distracted by things that didn't happen that they wanted to happen or things that happened that they didn't want to have happen and really look at this show as a whole, which was really just this like nugget of wholesomeness, but not to the point of simplicity.
No, complexity. How can there be, this sounds like it's counterintuitive, but wholesome complexity.
Yeah. And, you know, they're like, you know, there's like this wholesome core, but they realize that life is complicated and people are flawed and all these other things. And this really came at a time, at like the perfect time.
Yeah. COVID,
the end of the Trump debacle. Mm. And this just gave people a bit of a lifeline. I think. You can't fight this feeling.
No, I would agree. I think that this is a really beautiful television show.
It's going to be, when we get perspective, still rated in some of the best TV ever.
Yeah. Would you rewatch?
I don't. Will you? You know, I'm not a rewatcher.
Yeah.
But maybe. I don't know.
I do.
If you made me do it for a podcast.
No, I do rewatch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't this. If this is how this ends, that's
just
fine.
Just make it be a one-shining
moment. I'm okay
moment
with
type
it.
Of thing.
But it's not, to me, it's not a satisfying ending. So for me, I would just kind of be like, that's it. You know, I know how it ends. And if that's how it ends, then meh. Like, yeah. Okay.
You're such a poop.
No, I am not. Hey, I want to actually continue this conversation next week. I want to talk about the response to opinion on this online and what I've been observing about the response to opinion. And maybe that can become a bigger conversation around online interaction and stuff. We haven't visited the trolls for a while. All right. Well, Mark, thank you very much for this conversation. I think it was interesting.
You're welcome. Although, did I really have a choice?
No.
You don't have to thank people for things you commanded them to do.
All right. Well, let's talk about social media. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at extemporaneous2, and I am at Christina Gen X. Mark is at Mark Eats Peach. And we're also on Facebook. You can join our Facebook group. Yep. All right. Well,
buy something from our Etsy store.
We do not have an Etsy.
Yeah, we have yarn versions of Mark and Christina that you can buy.
No.
Get those.
No,
I bet Dynamouse would do it for us. Come on.
All right.
How much do you think she would charge us? Millions, probably.
I don't know. Check that where I run.
Yeah.
I'm not going to
start running.
Work with those weirdos.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thank you for coming to listen to us each week. If you do like us, please share us with a friend.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Bye.